Maybe this will go in a space capsule or something. Okay, I apologize for this slightly bizarre format of PowerPoint. As you can see, some of the text is kind of on a on the bias because it's the first one I came to in the list of possibilities. Yes, so as Carrie said, I'm Mike Rosen. And as soon as my partner Josh comes in the door, Josh Coffey, I'll introduce him. The third member of our company is Mike Coleman. He's another engineering faculty guy at the University of Vermont. This stuff that we're going to tell you about began as a student design project, an engineering senior design project. Hold on one second. Dave, could you do me a favor and just shut those doors? Yes. So the title of the talk is Tactile Drawing Technology for Kids, and parenthetically, for adults as well. I'm going to emphasize kids today. How many? Let me just make sure I understand you. How many of you are teachers? Hold your hands up very high. Okay, that's excellent. So a focus on children, children as in K through 12, would make sense today, yes? I'm not giving you the wrong stuff? Okay. EASY stands for, and I'm very proud of this because I have somewhat of a passion for acronyms. I kind of can't help myself. It stands for Engineering to Assist and Support You. Pretty cool, huh? EASY. So anyway, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our products. I'm going to ask for a lot of comments and questions from you. And when Josh gets here, if he gets here, we'll do some demonstrating as well. When I'm describing our products that are either on the market or coming to market, we are a two-year-old company. If I say to you, next slide, will that be cool? All you got to do is push the right arrow. That's the one. Thank you. Next slide. Oh, this guy's good. Okay, so that's the company. As Carrie said, we started out as a group at the University of Vermont in engineering. This company and what we do was kind of vetted by and has been continuously assisted and helped and mentored and funded by the National Federation of the Blind for about 5 years now. We had a project with engineering students that they decided was cool enough to be worth their effort and their funds, so they sponsored it to the tune of $20,000 5 years ago. In my course, students developed the first stages of an eraser for standard raised line drawings. We'll get back to that in a minute. Then they went on to work on a digitizing tablet and finally a printer. And after 3 years of student work, we decided this is good enough that we should be a company. So we've been a company for about 2 years. A part owner of the company and a continuous guide of the company is the National Federation of the Blind. What I want to emphasize today is that we have products for kids and adults now, meaning that you could have us slide your credit card today, and we can ship you, when I get back to Vermont, the things that I'm going to talk about. So this is not some futuristic, you know, academic research exercise. Next slide, please. Okay, we refer to our product line as Intact, which I think is kind of cool because it suggests that people's abilities will be intact as a result of using this technology, and also tact has the sort of the root of tactile, another sign of incredible cleverness. As a goal of our product line, we have several. One of them is sort of the combination of joy and comfort and confidence and skill. Those typically reinforce each other with raised line drawing. So how many of you are familiar with either the old Sewell kit or the APH Draftsman and the so-called German plastic that goes with it? Raise your hands high if you've used it before, because I want to make sure that I don't leave. How many have not ever seen this or worked with it? Because I just want to be absolutely clear. So this is, as you'll see during our demos, this is a plastic sheet that goes on something which is, no matter how well we dress it up, and we have dressed it up, is essentially a clipboard with a sheet of rubber on it. And when you take a stylus, which could be a pencil, a pen, a specialized stylus from APH, etc., and scribe a line on it, just draw, you don't get an inverted line that you then have to turn over and feel later. You don't have to do anything backwards. You get a raised line. So it's marvelous stuff. And just a brief aside from an engineering and academic perspective, we had an engineering intern and sent him looking for information in the engineering literature on what this is all about. We call it scratch embossing for obvious reasons. You're kind of scratching at the paper and you get an embossed line. Turns out the engineering world has nothing to say about this. It's never been studied. It doesn't have a name. The mechanism of why you get a raised line as you push down on this thin film of plastic on top of rubber isn't at all clear. So we have sort of sidestepped the why and gone to directly to, well, clearly it's useful, how can we make it better? So that's what we're dealing with. Another element of our intact products is the goal of introducing these things to kids early. I don't just mean early in the day, like right after breakfast. I mean early in their lives. I have two sighted grandkids, and they draw all the time, and they have been since they were under 2 years old. It's just what you do on a rainy day or while you're waiting for your hot dog or kiddie meal in the diner. So early introduction in children's lives, we'll come back to this topic. That's part of our sort of, what do we call it, value statement? I think that's what you're supposed to, mission, vision, and values, right, for organizations. I'm learning this stuff. Third element of what we're aiming for is interactivity. What does this mean? Well, most of you have seen published embossed graphics, graphs, pictures of houses, pictures of dogs and horses and roads and so on. These are read-only. These are materials where you can feel something. You feel a drawing, you feel a graph, you feel a map, but you're not meant to draw on it. Then there's the Sewell / Draftsman sort of stuff where you draw. Yes? Our goal is interactivity, meaning materials and tools such that you can draw on something that has already been drawn on, such that you can erase what you've already drawn, so you can edit it, fix it, make it better, think on paper, as it were, and ultimately so that you can interact with other people, because as you'll see, our products are digital, so that as you draw this accessible tactile drawing, it's turning into a computer file, which means then it becomes the basis of anything that you can do on the internet. Any communication of files now becomes an accessible medium. Another aspect of our goals is the reduction of cost and barriers to learning. We've been talking to people at the national and at state conventions and at similar events now for about 5 years, and we have yet to find anybody who doesn't say things like, wow, this is great, this is going to really help out. And then it turns out that most people expect a lot of the technology that's useful for this kind of thing to be expensive. And we're doing our best, starting in the original design phases of our products, but also by, you know, subsisting on beans and rice to keep the prices low. And finally, some of you may know there was a resolution passed. How many of you were at the last national convention, NFB convention? Okay. So there was a resolution passed that emphasizes tactile fluency or graphical fluency. The idea being that as a value of the NFB and of the blind community and blindness community as a whole, that being as good with graphics, tactile graphics, as one might be with Braille should be a major goal. The reason is obvious. There are just some things that are better communicated as pictures than as text. It's tough to get across geometry, it's tough to get across the beauty of art in words. That's why we have images. So tactile fluency is part of our value system. And the last sentence says that we want to build up a head of steam. The joke, of course, as you may know, does anybody familiar now with the acronym STEAM? What is it? I had a girl. Thank you very much. So it's STEM with art added. Because in everything we're talking about, this should always be as much about expressive art as it is about science and technology and mathematics-related drawing. Next slide, please. Okay, so here's a little list of our products. We have a sketch pad, which nominally resembles the APH Draftsman, but improves on it in a number of ways, and we'll go into detail on that. At conventions like this, we sell it for $100. The Draftsman costs $175. The typical price, if you're not at a convention like this, is $125. It is, when Josh comes in, we'll show it to you. It improves on the Draftsman in a couple of major ways. One is, it clamps the plastic sheet down on all four sides. Instead of having those two little snap things that gradually wear out at the end, of the drafting board at the end of the tablet, holding the plastic down. There's a single frame that snaps down magnetically. Why is this important? Those of you who've used this material can probably tell me. Why is it important to really hold that stuff down tight? Accuracy. What else? It moves, it rips, it wrinkles. So the draftsman holds it down on two sides, we hold it down on all four sides. It's a beautiful, sleek thing, new product. The mold for it is just returning, hopefully by air, not by ocean, from where it was made in China to a company in Vermont, where it will go into production probably in about a week to 10 days. So it really is new, and it really is coming available. I'll come back to the so-called sketch pad in a minute, because it has another feature that I want to emphasize. The second thing we've got, and have had now for several months, is an eraser. And we sell that at shows for $125. Basically, it is an iron. In fact, not basically, it is an iron. It's a handheld spot iron, which you use to bear down very lightly on any line that you've just made and change it, meaning it flattens the line that you've just made. This is, as teachers, I hope you'll appreciate this, you probably already have, meaning I'm probably laboring the point, but when you draw, the goal is not to make a perfect edition of your idea the first time. The goal is to think on paper. The idea is to plan the shape of a new garden. The idea is to draw your favorite toy so you can show it to a friend, not to get it perfect, which means that especially at the cost of 27 cents a sheet, it's awfully nice to be able to edit. Imagine if those of you in the room are sighted were handed the yellow pad of paper and a pencil, but the eraser hadn't been invented yet. This would be very annoying, okay? So we're kind of proud of this. One little bit of engineering irony that we particularly love is that, again, to keep the price down, the eraser was developed using surplus stuff that we were able to get on the web, and in fact, it is a conversion of an old Eveready flashlight. So the irony of using a flashlight as the basis of a product for the blind, I find extremely appealing. In the spring, Josh told me to say spring rather than February, but I think it's going to be February, the digitizing version of the sketch pad will come out, and this is where it gets really cool. When you draw with the digitizing version of our intact sketch pad, everything you draw becomes a computer file, as I've already tipped you off 7 or 8 minutes ago. This opens up everything. It's not just, imagine if you could draw something on paper, but that's it. You only had the original. There was no way to Xerox it, no way to scan it, no way to copy it, no way to send it to people other than to lick a stamp, put it in an envelope, and send it out, and make another copy and another copy all by hand. So this digitizing capability is very powerful. If you buy a sketch pad from us in its current inert form, the upgrade will be very cheap, like maybe $75 by early spring of this year. And finally, to kind of close the loop, by the end of 2014, currently working in prototype, demonstrated for two years in a row at the National Convention, we have a printer. The printer, instead of embossing like the existing embossers of graphics and Braille, the printer prints on this same plastic material. Imagine what this means to you as a teacher. This means if you have homework assignments, workbook pages, anything that you want to make in an accessible form on which the child can then draw and do the assignment and add to it, change it, fix it, add lines to it, etc., this printer will let you do that. And we're going to bring that to readiness, have it on the market, probably for a cost in the neighborhood of $2,000 to $2,500, which isn't peanuts, but it's also competitive with, typically cheaper than most embossers, and it does its creation of drawings on an interactive medium. So this isn't touch it, appreciate it, oh, that's how you draw a butterfly. It's give me the sheet with the butterfly on it. I want to add things to it. I want to give it 6 more legs and 2 antennae. So again, this is where we get to the real meaning of saying that our products are interactive. Next slide, please. Okay, so 3 favorite scenarios. By this time, I've probably screwed up and given them all to you anyway, but let's just go over them again. Okay, so your blind toddler is looking for something to do on a rainy afternoon or sitting in the restaurant waiting for food, and like anybody else, wants to draw, but instead of doing it with crayons in the back of the placemat, does it on one of these sketch pads. And what this means is, good, we have my friend Josh is here now. Josh Coffey has just entered the room. Josh Coffey is in the house. Is that the way we say it? Josh and I and Mike Coleman are the three, the entire company. And the cool thing is, imagine the scenario in which the drawing that the child just made then gets sent by the internet to grandma, who makes a print of it, tactile, if she has our printer, or if she doesn't need it, just looks at it on the screen or on a conventional printer and puts it up on the fridge. So it's in that sense, among others, that what we're doing is meant to be interactive. Second of my favorite scenarios is the teacher prints tactile worksheets, homework assignments, enhancement, enrichment material, math problems, drawing problems, geometry, trigonometry, etc., anything that involves drawing, or, and we'll talk about this more later, in fact, I'll ask Josh to talk about it more later, we're working with a publisher to have workbooks at every grade level, curricular workbooks, as well as workbooks that teach one how to draw, available in tactile form. So the homework assignment, whether you downloaded something from the web, printed it on our printer, which is in your room, and gave it to the kid, then goes on their sketch pad. And they do whatever the assignment is, whatever the workbook, whatever the homework assignment is, and send it to you electronically, or hand it back to you tactily the next day, or both. Okay? If the teacher's blind, then the kid can keep the original, send the file to the teacher through, you know, Bluetooth or the internet or any of the standard now, you know, completely ubiquitous connections worldwide, and the teacher can then print it out for himself or herself on our tactile printer. So you get the sense that it's a closed loop system. One of my favorite scenarios, the third one, which we've seen our friend Al Manecki, who is a blind academic / mathematician and longtime bigwig in the Maryland chapter and the National, along with his lovely wife. You're a blind professor, and you're giving a lecture on geometry, and you're standing in front of the room doing the constructions. You can do them because they're accessible. You can feel them. And the sketchpad is talking to the computer, and the computer is talking to the projector, just as my computer is talking to the projector now, and everything you're doing comes out in front of the room of presumably sighted kids in this scenario. So it makes connections. It promotes interaction. Next slide, please. Okay, so this is where we want to talk about the sort of hard copy material. Josh, did we ever solve the question of whether it's okay to mention the publisher's name? Okay, we worked just yesterday with Pearson Publishers, which apparently publishes, what, some huge percentage, like 90% of the workbooks, 80%? And the goal is to have workbooks that you as teachers could buy for the classroom. There's part of it that's sort of your master. It's got all the instructions in it in Braille, and then it has these tear-out sheets. So the tear-out sheets are on the standard, you know, old Sewell Kit APH plastic material. You give them to the child, and the child does the homework assignments and submits them back to you. So we're trying to work both ends of this field, meaning make the technology for you that you will need to do this and that the children will need to do this, and make available the curricular materials in tactile, interactive form, which would then be used on this technology. One of the things that's occurred to us again and again, and it's probably so dumb and elementary that you as teachers will be surprised that it took us a while to realize it, but it doesn't make sense to bring a kid into seventh grade and say, okay, time for geometry, if they've never drawn anything. In other words, there are rudimentary, fundamental drawing skills, and the spatial sense that goes with them, and the knowledge of whatever conventions go into representing 3D objects in two dimensions. All of that stuff has to come first. Sighted kids get that naturally every single time they pick up a crayon, every time they pick up a marker or a pencil and, you know, draw on the wall, and then dad has to scrub it off. But the point is that when we talk about worksheets, we're not just talking about curricular content, we're talking about the goal of learning to draw and feeling comfortable and capable and skillful at drawing, so then as curricular content comes up, which is inherently graphical, they have the fundamental skills to do that with. And then obviously, I mean, your list will be three times as long as mine, but the curricular context could be geometry, chemistry, physics, expressive art, freehand mathematics, anything in which the core of displaying your knowledge and responding to questions and expressing yourself is drawing. In fact, one of the things that interests us, we went to the annual graphics gig in Baltimore that NFB runs annually. 2 days, there were 32 papers presented. No, 34. Out of those 34 papers, 32 were about programs and publishers of read-only tactile graphics. In other words, people who make or can show you how to make pretty pictures that can be felt. But none of them were on the medium that the child can then draw on. So what we want to emphasize and make sure, at the risk of laboring this point, since you're smart people and you probably already figured it out, this is what we mean by interactive. This is about using a medium which is meant for both the presentation of drawings and the making of drawings. So we think that tactile graphics for the blind is not just about understanding drawings, it's about the act of drawing. Okay? So what Josh is doing at this very moment is going around the room with our final pre-production prototype of the sketchpad. It uses the standard stylus that you would get from APH, but could just as easily be a ballpoint pen, a pencil, anything that has a slightly rounded pointed tip. And when this gets to the table that you're sitting at, if it isn't already, you'll play with it, open it. One of the things we want to point out to you is that besides the fact that it holds the sheet of plastic down nicely, clamps it on all four sides, it also makes the placement of the paper in an accurate way easy. Those of you who have used the Draftsman know that it's pretty easy to have it sticking off one end too far and off the other end not far enough and not have it aligned. Here it's basically drop it in. The sheet fits nicely down into a little recessed rectangle that where it's held by the magnetic clamps. And then as you pass it around, you'll feel an opening on the right side. That's where the USB port is going. Because already built into it, we didn't put a bottom on it, so you could see and feel the actual digitizing circuit board. So as you draw with our stylus, it's making this file. The question that's probably occurred to most of you is, will the eraser also erase lines in the digital file? And the answer is, soon. Right now, when you erase, Josh, do you have the eraser here as well? Okay, because there's obviously several things that we can demonstrate. So this is the canned talk. What I'd much rather do is pass the microphone around and ask you all for questions and comments. Like, for example, if you had it, how would you use it? If you had it, who would pay for it? Do you imagine kids being able to use these at home? Et cetera, et cetera. So comments and questions, please. This is the part where you have to work and I get to listen. Anybody want to raise their hand and I'll hand them the microphone? No one, not a soul. I hate it when this happens. Oh, here we go. Hang on a second. Here I come.
Here you go.
Here's your mic. Oh, I get a mic even.
You get a mic.
A mic from Mike. All right, thank you. So how long do you project before the eraser is able to interact and erase the digitized line?
Take the microphone back. All right. Did you all hear the question? Okay, the question was how long before the eraser will also erase the lines in the digital copy? And I would say, again, spring to late spring. Meaning that in the end, I would like to see the stylus be something which you can flip over, and one end is the eraser and the other end is the draw, which is sort of the natural way of doing things, at least in the sighted world. If that proves, okay, the eraser now has four AAA batteries in it. If you turn it on, you know when it's ready to erase because it emits a beep. And after about 20 seconds, it stops beeping and just beeps on and then occasionally off. And that tells you, like the thermostat in your house, it's maintaining the right temperature. Combining that with the electronics that talk to the digitizing tablet is what we have to do next. And that shouldn't be difficult, it's just that we haven't gotten to it yet. The eraser will not be cable connected to the pad any more than the current stylus is. In other words, the digitizing, I will hand this over to this gentleman in a minute. the stylus will emit one, will be recognizable by the computer as being the stylus, and the eraser will be recognizable as being the eraser. Question?
Yes, sir. I was wondering, you were talking about being able to send these files to teachers via Bluetooth or email. Would you have to have a special program to view these files, or are they standard like JPEGs? And when you go to print them on your tactile printer, what if they are standard JPEG, what would happen if I put a picture, a regular picture, on that printer? What would happen?
Okay, so the question was about the format of the files. Are they JPEGs? Are they PDFs? I'm actually going to hand the mic over to Josh to respond to this in some detail. But the basic idea is that our software, which is what he and our electrical engineering intern are developing right now, would make it possible to convert files, either files that you've downloaded from the internet or files that you've made from our tablet, our sketchpad, into whatever format you need. Josh?
So we're trying to standardize around a graphics format that will interface with the most amount of machines in the industry right now. So what we're actually probably going to do is have our sketchpad generate a modified scalable vector graphic, SVG, which is a similar file format to PDF, and they're pretty compatible. Not necessarily exactly the same, but there is some cross-compatibility there. Software tools will enable you to cross-convert from any typical standard graphics file, whether it's a TIFF, a bitmap, a JPEG, an SVG, a PDF. We're going to have software tools that can cross-convert all of those formats from one to another so that you can import any graphic you can find online, as long as it's a line graphic. You can turn it into a raised line drawing, or you can convert it into a different kind of graphic and share it. So our goal is to basically come up with a software tool that can outport and import from as many formats as possible. Kerry. What's your question? Do you want the microphone? Or?
I love the mic.
There you go.
Thank you very much. All right, this is Kerry Sapala. Good. So the question about the software tool, maybe you said it while I was out of the room, maybe you didn't. We all know that the most effective presentation for tactile graphic is to keep it simple and sweet, or as the engineers say, keep it simple and stupid, or KISS, the KISS model. Keep it simple and stupid. But anyway, that being said, is your tool going to distill out some of the ancillary information? Is it going to have the artificial intelligence to do that?
That's a really good question, and it's really important, because obviously you can't take necessarily, prepared graphic representation and make a one-to-one tactile representation information. It can't be that dense information. So what we're going to do is we're going to try to build software tools features that kind of weed out the tools we'll convert to raster. Basically what we'll do is we'll convert a raster graph, and then we'll probably have a threshold, and then we'll probably have a threshold that are shorter than any size. The vectors that are shorter than any size. Small features we will have software tools that will make those graphics less dense so they can be perceived tactilely accurately. Any other questions? Anybody? Okay. No questions? I'll repeat the question. Oh, yeah, okay.
Is you said the eraser is like an iron. Is it just a solid piece that you put over it, or does it get hot? And is the temperature hot enough to burn you?
That's a really good question for a product that we're trying to sell to schools, right? the answer is that basically it's a flashlight body with an adapted and custom designed by us nose cone with a 3/8-inch aluminum tip on the end. The tip gets up to 180 degrees Fahrenheit, which by comparison is the temperature of an incandescent light bulb in your house that's been on for an hour. So it's hot, you don't want to shake hands with it, but at the same time, it's not going to burn you to the touch. And we've talked to a lot of TVIs that said, yeah, my kid might touch this and they might not like it, but it's not going to burn them and they're not going to touch it again. And at that temperature an incandescent light bulb. It's not something that's so dangerous that if you touch it, you'll instantly burn. If you hold your finger on it for 30 seconds, yeah, it's going to start to burn. But we find that's preventable. We've never seen anybody that's actually burnt themselves on this. And we actually designed it so that while you're erasing, if you're scanning the paper with your fingers, there's a rim that protects your fingers from that heated tip. So you can't get access to that tip while you're erasing. So there's both safety features built in for the usability side, and the temperature is limited so as not to burn people.
So even as these things come to market, we have research funds from NIH to try and find out what makes a drawing feel better than another drawing. What about the line height? What should the lines feel like, et cetera? So I am looking for recruits, meaning that tomorrow morning, all morning, in fact, from tomorrow morning until 2 o'clock this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon when I have to give a little talk, I have materials with me. And anybody who wants to sign up, please come see me because I need you for about 30 minutes. I'm going to show you a bunch of different drawings and ask you to comment on them and tell me what feels right and what doesn't feel right. I'm using you as experimental subjects. There's no two ways about it. If I can dig up some Tootsie Pops as incentive, I will. But it might just be for the good of science, not to mention the good of our company. So please, I'm completely serious about this. I would love to come out of here with three or four more subjects worth of reactions to the materials that we have prepared. And I would be happy, in fact, when this is over this afternoon, come see me or Josh, and we'll pick a time tomorrow morning that works for you, and find a quiet room and do this.